So, welcome to this special one-off edition of the Aperiodcast. It's been a while since we've done an Aperiodcast recording, but since it's the Maths Jam weekend and the three of us are all in the same place, we figured it would be a sensible time for us to all get together and just kind of do a quick recap of the things that have been interesting on the site recently. Not since the last one, because that would be quite a long podcast, but just in the recent weeks, and also to discuss the fact that we're here at Maths Jam, where I am joined by Christian.
Hello.
And by Peter Rowlett.
Hello.
And between us, we make up, with myself, that's Katie, we make up the aperiodical editorial team, who are responsible for all of the ridiculous nonsense that goes on our website. So, Maths Jam Conference, eh?
Yes, should we explain that it's late on the Saturday night at the Maths Jam Conference
It
and
really is.
That's important contextual information.
announce an amount of beer? I'm on beer number four. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm on pint of Coke number two.
Right.
I've had lots of tea and
Okay.
still quite tired.
Peter.
Well, I'm the most tipsy then. This is not the first time that I've recorded a podcast slightly tipsy in this building, it must be said. We're at the location of the first Maths Jam Conference, for the fourth Maths Jam Conference. And I was involved in the recording of Combinations and Permutations episode 57, which happened downstairs from here, in a similar state of slight tipsiness.
So that means that the Maths Jam conference venue has followed the coffee pouring sequence. Do you know about that?
Go
That
on.
if you've got coffee and it's kind of diff there's a gradient of strength throughout the cafetiere of whatever it is you've got of coffee, and you want to pour it so that you get coffees of even strength. Like, you could just pour half of it into each one, but then you'd have a weak one and a strong one. So if you pour half a cup and then one full cup and then the other half cup, you go ABBA with half cups of coffee, then you get a slightly better mix. And if you want to go further, then there's another one that allows you to spread it out, but it's a bit of a faff.
Yes.
But it kind of means that you've got
I have a feeling we cover this on Math Maths, and
probably
this is relevant because
the Maths Jam conferences have gone ABBA.
Okay.
Is that what Colin's trying to do? He's trying to equalize the
where A is me being slightly tipsy on a podcast and B is me being sober on a podcast, yes. Very good.
Yes, so we're at the Maths Jam conference. Lots of stuff's been going on. We've had a full day of talks. Well, I've had a half a day of talks today because we only started at lunchtime, but it feels like a full day
Yes.
because Colin fits in about 30 talks. There are various. We've had an after dinner event, which was a guy who built a clock out of Lego, which was fascinating. Since then, people are variously drinking, and some people were juggling, I think, various card tricks. Hugh Hunt was demonstrating concepts from engineering. Just everything, all kinds of things are happening.
Katie, the cake.
Oh, we had cake,
Oh, Katie.
yeah. The first time at this year's Maths Jam conference, we had a bake off, cake baking competition. I am so tired. And we were nominated judges from within the conference delegates, and other people baked things, and
Now, Katie, were you expecting more people to not want to judge a cake competition?
I was actually, yeah. We kind of randomised the order of all the people who are eligible to be judges and read out the first three names, and they all said, "Yep." Yeah. Which I was sort of wondering, because it might be that if someone's on a diet, or if they have allergies, or they don't feel like
I had
eating.
mentally prepared myself to saying I'd been to lunch, I'd declined pudding at lunch, and I thought I'm not going to say yes to a cake. If it comes up me, I'm going to say no. How about you? Were you game?
Well, I was an entrant, so I couldn't.
Ah,
I was
right.
disqualified.
Yes.
But I think the headline, Public Unexpectedly Enthusiastic for Cakes, is not going to appear.
Maybe I've misjudged humans. I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of cake to taste. There were 14 different cakes to eat, and it essentially meant you didn't get a coffee break that day, that break
Only
time.
cake break.
Yes, that was also the problem, was that it was the coffee break before my talk.
Yeah.
So I was aware I was going to be panicking about my talk at that point.
Well, no, but it went very well. We've had a lot of interesting cakes. There's some photos up on the website.
What were the three categories of cake?
Although they were all being entered for the all three categories. Although some people did specifically email and say, "I would like to enter for the, you know, best presentation category." So the categories were best baking, so best like nicest cake, best presentation, so like nicest aesthetically looking, most like what it's supposed to be visually, and best maths. Which of course was the best category, because it meant that, you know, most ingenious concept or most, you know, nice bit of maths that you were trying to communicate.
And what are some highlights? What sort of things have people
do? Well, the the winner of Best Maths was superb because Andrew Taylor, who I think he's written a post for the site before, hasn't he? He's a periodical guest author, Andrew Taylor, entered some topologically distinct pretzels, which were in the shape of prime knots from the table of prime knots, which was lovely. And they were all delicious as well.
I was like, prime knots, you may know them from the table of prime knots. And the table of prime knots too.
But yeah, they were all labelled with which knot they were, and one of them was the unpretzel, which was lovely. There was, I mean, there were some really nice entries. There were various different maths puzzles and toys represented in cake form.
There was a Peterson graph.
Yeah, it was a Peterson graph cake.
It was my obscure one.
Yeah, Chrissy's was a bit odd.
Mine was very odd. It's like I bake cakes that have vanilla and chocolate in them. And when you slice into them, you always get a bit of vanilla and a bit of chocolate on the sides of the slices. And I thought, how much chocolate can I put in and hide it all within the slice? So out from the outside, the slice looks just like a vanilla cake. So the solution to that is you either have half and half, like completely separated, or then you can break them up into quarters, or you can keep going further and further. And the further you go, the more likely, or the better it is, because people take funny shaped slices at random positions. So I tried to get a sense of that progression, and it didn't really work. My baking went all wrong, but the idea was nice.
It was good cake, and I managed to take a slice out of the cake that was completely vanilla on the left and chocolate on the right, which impressed several people. they were amused that it was sort of hidden inside the cake what was going on.
What did you enter?
I did Mobius Brandy Snaps. Mobius Bandy Snaps.
I didn't even see those.
They were amazing. Yeah, I put some of them out. We kind of underestimated how difficult brandy snaps are to make. It turns out it's quite a technical baking skill. We should have known, given that it was one of the technical bakes on the Great British Bake Off. But yeah, it's essentially you have to bake something for exactly the right amount of time and then take it out of the oven while it's still warm and like twist it into whatever shape you want. And that's it was difficult. It was fairly late in the evening as well, so we were quite tired doing that. you may have noticed we've just been joined by some Australians. So Matt Parker and Colin Wright, who organised Maths Jam between them, have just wandered over with some beers. That's how this conference is going. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, all good, right. I'm not sure. You're from Perth. You're not really Australian.
No, I'm peripheral Australia at best. Sort of,
yeah. Mind you, given everybody clings to the coast, we're all peripheral Australians. Melbourne.
So how's the conference going for you guys?
Well, Colin did all the hard work, so...
Well, I was just talking with David Bedford, who was the person who originally suggested the annual gathering, and he said, this is the best one yet. This has been the best day yet. This is number four, a Mew Hope.
Team effort, that one.
Team effort,
like it,
yeah. And, David says, and I concur entirely, this has just been one of the best days that we've had for our Maths Jam. The talks have been great. A few people ran over, but mostly people have run pretty much exactly at a time.
It's been great.
The talks have been incredibly intriguing.
You do all the hard work organising it, and then I just swan around taking credit. It's a great division of labour, I think.
I should make you do more, shouldn't I?
You probably should, but you haven't.
I haven't so far. No, it's been going really well.
Good.
We're going to do a proper podcast with Matt and Colin tomorrow.
If that doesn't happen, I can always edit out this bit.
This is drive by.
Genuinely crashing. So for the record, these guys are hiding in a corner, away from the excitement. But we're going back to said excitement.
We wanted to get closer to the Hoovers, so there'd be some soothing background noise.
That's good background white noise. I like it.
All right. Thanks very much. Bye. So back to talking about ourselves. The website has been doing quite nicely recently. We've had a couple of articles that have been a bit popular, so does anyone feel confident to mention some stuff?
Well, we got Reddited with this gravestones thing, which I wrote and find completely uninteresting.
So
I think we all agreed it was completely uninteresting as it was going through the editor.
But it was sort of happening, so we thought we might as well write it up. And So there was a gravestone, a mathematician who died, a numerical analyst for, I can't remember which company. Anyway. And
Shell,
maybe? Yeah. And his wife decided to put a Sudoku puzzle and a maths equation on his grave because he was very into Sudoku and he was a mathematician. and
coincidentally, he was a mathematician.
Yes. Yeah. Good. And apparently, the graveyard had a rule against decorations on graves like this, and so she's been asked to take it down. And this has been taken up by lots of tabloids. Partly why it interested me is because there's a fine tradition of mathematicians having mathematics on their gravestones. And partly it interested me because you saw a lot of pieces in tabloids which were awful, as all tabloid journalism seems to be, but they weren't the sort of article that refers to boffins or refers to mathematics as being a terrible thing. They were sort of saying, this guy was interested in this stuff, why can't it be on his gravestone? In this sort of, maths is okay in this context. Yeah. So I quite liked it for that reason.
I think the way Christian put it in one of the behind-the-scenes editorial discussions and possibly in a comment was that they will take the opportunity to bash local councils over the opportunity to bash mathematicians.
Yes, it was essentially a game of top trumps. You know?
Yeah. Is there a well-ordering on tabloid hate figures? Yes.
So anyway, so we sort of, I saw this as happening, I thought, oh well, I'll write a couple of paragraphs, we wrote something, and then I think Christian's comment behind the scenes was, since you've written it up, we might as well post it.
Yeah, that was sort of precisely my feeling about it.
And this post got nearly 4,000 hits to the site on one day, nearly 2,500 the following day, basically. I mean, that was including other posts as well, but essentially that's a clear few thousand posts over what we would normally get on a day, so
yeah.
It was interesting, and hopefully that kind of drives other traffic to the rest of the site as well. People aren't just gawping at the tabloidy story.
Mm.
But that was nice. We've had a lot of news posts actually recently. We've had
quite a
fair few bits of stuff. I think there's been a period where we've been a bit quiet, mainly because we've all been quite busy.
Also, it's called the summer. Nothing really
happens. Summer.
Well, there's a problem. You have the long summer where nothing happens and we're all having holidays and not really wanting to do the site. And then term starts and we all
get busy. Yes.
So there's a sort of fruitful period in January to March where we have time to do things.
We're all settled into term and stuff is happening.
Yeah.
But we've had a few kind of newsy things going on, and we keep trying to push through things through the site. I mean, if anyone, we did have a push to get kind of additional news post people a little while ago, and a few people did sign up to do bits of news things, but that seems to have tailed off.
Mm.
Yeah. You ask people on the internet to do things for you, and they might do it once.
Yeah. Well, it was good while it lasted, but I think, I mean, we're keeping on top of like major news stories. We are sorting.
Oh,
out,
we did a Prime Gaps update.
Yeah, that was good.
Fun.
Yeah, they've got
to run us through that.
Yes.
I mean, where you told people in the bar earlier while I was present. But
yeah,
it's still worth
roughly a year ago, Yitang Zhang proved that there was a bound on. No, there's an upper bound on the lowest possible bound for the gaps between adjacent primes. Massively big primes can. There's always some that will be within a certain finite number of each other.
And this is interesting because it sort of sounds a bit like the twin primes.
Well, the twin prime conjecture is the best it could possibly be, which is that there are always primes two apart, no matter how far up the number line you go.
I think we're being unambitious in not aiming to get that down to one. I can name at least one pair that they're one apart.
Comrade Stalin demands bound in one. So the bound started off at 70 million. He said, you can probably do better than that. There's a polymath project which got it down a few orders of magnitude. They're currently at 6,000 and something and preparing a paper about how they did it. And just recently, a guy called James Maynard, something like that, he was a PhD student at Oxford, has got the bound at 700 and thrown away loads of the fiddly machinery that the polymath project were using, which is very impressive.
It's impressive and it amuses me enormously. the polymath works.
It's the way maths works in the popular imagination, that this lone genius has defeated thousands of people thinking really hard.
Yeah.
This is only going to encourage lunatics to send us more stuff.
I mean, I'm sure that the fact that all of those people were working on it and making progress was enough motivation for him to look at it. You know, it might have
actually. It's not as simple as that, because Terry Tao has been in communication with him, helping him with some of his calculations, and I think probably some other.
But
people.
It's interesting how much the availability of online and polymath and things like this just accelerates this process. Because ordinarily this would be years of people publishing papers saying,
"He almost
I've got it down to this. I've got it down to that." And
He probably wouldn't have got there without the polymath stuff going on.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. No one knows how to do it.
It's a bold claim.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's always fun to keep track of.
So you guys have a much better and more interesting podcast.
Yeah, we do. we have another podcast.
I was weighing up.
I just missed the middle of the sentence, and I just said, so you guys have a podcast. We do.
But it is better. But it is more interesting.
Yes. I agree, absolutely.
Peter's listened to it.
Yeah, so in case you've entirely missed this, myself and Christian have been running a podcast called All Squared, in which we find interesting people and point them at a microphone and then interrupt them.
We say something mega cheesy, and then we find half an hour to fill before saying something cheesy again.
We do.
Those bits do make me cringe at the start and the end.
Me too.
But the interesting interview with someone interesting in the middle is very good.
Yeah. I think those bits are getting cheesier as time goes
on. It's only getting worse.
I'm relishing the cheesiness, I think, and taking
it. It amuses me that you do it each time.
Yeah, we do a fresh one every time. We don't just reuse the same recording. Yeah. It's quality podcasting.
When Samuel and I started Math Mass, and we had the bit at the start where I say, let's go, Samuel, that I only did that once. I just kept playing it. Yeah. But you guys are doing
it. Illusion shattered.
Until open the brackets becomes.
That's
the catchphrase of our age.
Yeah, when people walk into a bar and go, "Hey, everyone, open the brackets. I'm here to do some maths." But yeah, the most recent edition of that has gone up this week, and that was an interview with journalist and mathematician Evelyn Lamb.
Other way around, I think. She
mathematician
was
and journalist.
Yes, she was, absolutely.
True. I mean, everyone's a mathematician, though, right, that we interview. So
right.
The subcategory of mathematician is journalist.
I'm not sure what Cushing counts as.
Mathematician
Man
and
of the
mathematician.
Woods and mathematician.
So, yeah, Evelyn was very interesting to talk to her because she blogs for Scientific American magazine, and she briefly also worked in their newsroom as part of their kind of maths team. So it's interesting to hear from her about what she was doing, and to hear her being interrupted by us on a regular basis. So do look out for that if you're interested.
But you've had other good, I mean, Colin Mulcahy recently, you had David Singmaster talking about.
Yeah, we spoke to David Singmaster, we spoke to Colin Mulcahy about his new book.
And David Singmaster one, it was like, I don't know. It's like going to Disney World. We just listened to him for an hour.
Yeah,
and it was beautiful.
Yeah, we had to cut it into two separate podcasts because he just kept talking for ages.
Can you be my granddad?
Yeah. I once gave a talk at the University of Greenwich, and David came to it because he lives in London. And then afterwards, we all went for a walk around Greenwich Observatory. And it was just, everybody, don't bother looking at what the description is next to the exhibit. Let's just listen to what David has to say about it. And he just had anecdote after anecdote about it.
I love it.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, but that was good. They're all kind of on the website, if you've not listened to any of those. They're all about half an hour-ish, maybe a little bit more, which means they'll fit nicely into a medium-length bus or car journey. I don't know. We sort of shoot for about 10 pi minutes, if we can. In my mind, that's what we're doing.
Okay.
One other thing that's just gone on the site today is my Maths Jam talk. So, I mean, it's kind of selfish that I contrived to set up a blog 2 years ago in order that I was able to do this, but essentially I've given a talk at Math Jam today and posted the post that that accompanies the talk during the talk. I got Christian to hit the button while I was on stage.
It was a very good moment where you sort of turned to the audience and said, and I've written a blog post about that, which should have gone live now.
it was good, but that's about a recent chance encounter that I had with a mathematician aged 8 who had discovered some maths, and he came to find me after a talk I was giving and explained that he'd found something and he wanted me to see if I thought it was interesting, and he sent me his write-up of everything, which came in the form of a PowerPoint presentation. So I thought, well, this is a Math Jam talk ready-made, and I just used his slides for my actual talk. But I've also written it as a post for the site, and it's adorable. It's lovely. He's done some really nice investigation of something which had people at Math Jam going, oh, I wonder if you could extend it this way, and lots of other kind of side conversations coming off it as well. So,
I mean, yeah, it was a proper thing. It wasn't sort of adorable, like, gosh, look at that, hasn't he done well for his age or whatever. He's done well
square
for
numbers.
Anybody.
Yeah. Yes. No, it was, I mean, it's not the world's most earth-shattering piece of maths ever, but it is a nice little interesting fact about numbers that
you
found.
If a grown-up had stood up and talked about it as their own thing, no one would have batted an eyelid.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's on there. Should we mention the Carnival of Maths?
We should always mention the Carnival.
So yeah, this is a thing which we're continuing to host on the site because it's great, and we've had some really good Carnival of Mathses. So we recently passed 100, and for issue 100 we got author Richard Elwes to do a Carnival post for 101. We did it on the aperiodical, since 101 is a prime number and therefore much better than 100 as a major anniversary.
Well, also in 101 you can review the first 100.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is true.
Not in this 100 where you're celebrating the first 99. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Were you one of these people that didn't celebrate the millennium until January the 1st, 2001?
I think I may have celebrated both, to be honest.
Yeah, and we've also had one from aforementioned mathematician / journalist Evelyn Lamb. She's hosted one as well.
We sort of technically had Carnival of Mathematics on Scientific American.
Yeah, we kind of did. It was kind of on Scientific American. When she just posted it, it was on the front page of Scientific American website, which was exciting.
Yeah.
So, that's quite nice. And the next one is due to go up. The submissions will close on the 10th of November. So basically, the idea of it is, if you've seen any blog posts... some fine examples exist on the aperiodical website, but if you've seen any other good maths blog posts anywhere at all on the internet, we will accept any part of the internet.
Anywhere at all, including things you've seen, but also things you've seen because you just wrote them.
Yes, that's also allowed. I mean, even if it's not on a maths blog, it may be that someone's written a blog post elsewhere that is mathematical or that mentions maths or... just anything, really. Mm. As long as there's maths involved and mathematicians will find it interesting,
yes.
Head onto our website, click the words Carnival of Mathematics. There should be a massive link that's the width of the screen that says click here to submit a post.
It's a bit too massive. Some people just scroll past it.
I think it's a heading.
Screen, yeah. Yeah.
We should have the link and then another link underneath.
We've definitely had comments on that page saying, where do I go to submit a post? And... kind of screen grab the page and draw a red circle around it for them. But there is a huge link there. Please click on that if you have anything to submit and put in as much or as little detail as you like. The host of the Carnival is completely qualified to form their own opinions, but if there's anything you want to add, you can put that in as well. So please do submit at any point in the next 10 days or afterwards, because there's another one next month, which is going to be hosted somewhere else, which is also on the Carnival of Maths page. Preparation.
Good knowledge.
Yeah.
Good generic statement
on top
that works
of every
for everyone.
Aspect of the operation.
Absolutely. I'm very tired. I've told you. Okay, so, I mean, is that everything to say about what's been going on with the site recently? Anything exciting coming up in the future?
Oh, there was a fun WordPress update.
Right.
No.
I think one thing to say is that given that it's a Mass Jam weekend, we basically spent all of our time going around to people and saying, that thing you just talked about was really interesting, would you write it up for the site? So of the N people who've promised to do so, possibly N minus brackets, 4 minus N, will probably do that. I'm tired. Maybe 4 people or less. We'll write up what they've talked about.
We had a little batch last year, didn't we, of people who had given an interesting talk who then read it out.
Yeah, we did actually just ask someone a minute ago who said, oh yeah, I'm sorry I haven't written up my talk from last year yet. So you may well get 2 posts from that person. But hopefully, yeah. There's also a couple more, if you've been following my exciting open season series of posts about open conjectures in maths, there may be 1 or 2 more in that series forthcoming. I'm hoping to start a new series on a different topic shortly as well. This is all pending me having enough time to do this, but I think I've got a lot of work coming up, which strictly means I've got a lot of train journeys coming up, so this is promising. Anything from you guys?
I've been mulling over a thing about why maths isn't science, which I think I finally put my thumb on properly, so I might write that at some point. We'll see.
I, as ever, have lists of links accumulating and lists of papers accumulating.
Exciting.
I owe you an open season post on Thompson's Group F.
Yep.
At some point. Apart from that, no.
Okay.
And now you've said it on here.
Now it has to happen. Yeah.
It could become the new Alistair Bird bees post.
Yeah, hopefully we can.
I think we've reached the apex of finish your bees post today. My last
Christian
slide.
Had his last slide of his talk to be Alistair, finish your bees post.
Yeah, this is the exciting news that Alistair offered to write as a post about the mathematics of bees, which became increasingly long because he thought of so many interesting things he could talk about.
It didn't get long and the same quality. It just kept getting better.
Yeah.
Until it reached a point when he decided he didn't have time to finish it.
Yeah, so he's now split it into three posts. Yeah. And in theory, post part one should be ready soon, is what we've heard.
He says he wants to finish all three before they all go.
But I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you would like to read about the mathematics of bees, if you can tweet Alistair, he is at out of the norm two. We'll put a link
number
to that
two.
in the show notes.
Actually, if you're listening to this and you're reading a post about bees, it worked.
Yes.
Person of the future. Everything worked out okay.
Yeah, if you tweet him and just say, please finish your bees post, I would like to read it, that would be possibly ineffective, but also appreciated. Cool. Is that a good point to wrap up?
Yeah.
Yes.
We are turning into a pets magazine next month.
Right.
We're all okay with this.
Okay.
Maths
Okay. Maths is so last year. Okay. Anyway, it's now almost midnight, so we will stop. And I would say listen to the next one of these, but there may not be one for a while, so this is a bit of a one-off. But it's been great to catch up with everyone, and hopefully we'll continue to produce high-quality podcast, blog, internet.
High-quality podcast blog things is what we're aiming for, yes.
All right, enjoy our high-quality podcast blog future output.